Gregory bravely sacrificed himself to become the ship's rudder.
I think that's false.
Oh, Master Splinter's super toads mad.
But yes! Yeah. Yeah!
Two broomsticks at the same time.
Expecto Patronum! You'll never amount to anything!
Completely false.
If it was Andy's Girthy Candy, there's no way they'd ever change that name.
So, wait, is it goblins? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, this one is true!
I am chocolate.
And the theme of today's podcast is...
Wait, are we still in the intro?
Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Allegedly Podcast, where me and my co-host get a mystery topic coupled with some mystery facts, and it's our job to figure out which facts are real and which facts are fake. My name is Alex, and with us always is Joe.
Flip, 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 flip.
Spider Joe. Spider Joe.
Still Duh. Better than Madam Web.
What would your movie be? Like, you're sitting here shitting on Madam Web. What would Spider Joe be?
I mean, it'd probably just be me being Peter B. Parker eating pizza on a couch.
Yeah, you know, that'd actually be good watching.
I mean, honestly, probably still better than Madam Web.
He's just, I think I would love to see a whole movie of him depressing about Mary Jane Watson, like crying in the shower and shit.
Wearing his mask in the shower.
Dude. Don't even get me started. That shit made me laugh so fucking hard. Like, he's just sitting there curled up, like, crying while wearing the mask. Like, God. That's such a Spider-Man thing to do. Like, I'm Spider-Man. Well, sorry. He couldn't conform. It wasn't woke enough for Joe, is what it was. The movie wasn't woke enough.
It wasn't, yeah. I mean, my Marxist ass.
Awesome. All right, dude, let's get to the podcast topic. So today's podcast topic is acting suspiciously in old newspapers.
I'm going to go immigrants and women.
Immigrants and women for 500, please.
Yeah.
So
what Joe, is the Irish?
So, Joe, you have a ton of history of acting suspiciously.
Well, it's mostly because I was doing shady things.
Yeah, you've been flagged on many occasions for being a shady person.
I'm what people would call a degenerate.
Yeah. Have you ever been arrested, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know that. I've never been arrested. Holy shit. Did you do something
never
crazy?
Never went to jail. But...
Did you sell crack?
No.
Did you do something? Is it something?
Ever tell.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, we got a real criminal on our hands here.
Yeah.
Dude, you're kind of a bad boy.
Ooh, I've even been to court.
All right. Well, let's. Now we have a resident expert in acting suspiciously. I say we jump into the topic.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, so let's see what we're dealing with. Fact number one. Why was a man considered suspicious and subsequently arrested in Kansas City in March 1898? Was he A, he was wearing a sneaky hat, B, he was carrying a sneaky umbrella, or C, he was wearing sneaky shoes?
Ooh.
Sneakers.
Doesn't I'm going to go that. With hat.
He was what would a sneaky hat look like?
I don't know.
It's a bowler cap. That's the right answer. It's a bowler, right? Like the amount of tomfoolery that happens in a bowler cap is pretty sneaky. 1898. Have ball caps even been invented yet?
No. Well, maybe. Yeah. Baseball was around
in 1898.
But like, it's not like the caps we think of today. They were like they were kind of soft on top.
Fucking stupid.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say it, Joe. It's okay.
Yeah. They kind of looked more like cycling caps.
So sneaky hat. You know those hats that like people wear that make their heads look like sperms?
No.
You know they're like the aerodynamic hats?
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
I think cyclists wear them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a sneaky hat.
Right?
Like if I saw a dude like cruising around in that hat without a bike, I'd be like, there's something fucking off about this situation. You know? Like, wouldn't you?
I think, like, more of a sneaky hat, ear flaps.
Oh, like a Fargo situation?
Yeah, you're hiding a lot of your face there.
Yeah, especially if it's tied down, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what so, like, monster ties him down?
Like,
that guy's up to something.
Like Eddie from Christmas Vacation, yeah, right? Yeah, the hats he wears. That's sneaky.
Sneaky.
Sneaky umbrella or sneaky shoes.
See, a sneaky umbrella, no umbrella, I would never, like...
Now, keep in mind,
umbrella hidden in
the nature of the sneaky might not be inherited by the object, but by the person wielding it.
Right.
So, like a black person holding an umbrella might be arrested because he's a black person, not because he's sneaky. But then the cops have to be like, I didn't arrest him because he was black. He had a sneaky umbrella.
Like, I'm trying to think what sneaky shoes would be at that time.
Socks?
Right. Yeah. he was just rocking sandals.
Yeah, like there's something off about this guy. These sandals, they look sneaky as hell. Yeah, I don't know. Sneaky hat. I'm gonna go with that. I think it's sneaky hat. I think you're right.
1898. It was probably a hat that made him look Irish. So
the bowler.
Yeah, he was trying to cover up that red hair,
dude. If it's polar cap, I'm going to lose my fucking shit.
Or a top hat.
No, 1898. Those were still in, right?
Sure.
All right. Well, I think we got this set. So for fact number one, we're going to go A, he was wearing a sneaky hat for why a man was considered suspicious and subsequently arrested in Kansas City in March 1898. 3, 2, 1, bam. Oh, no, it was sneaky shoes.
Oh, damn it.
We were both wrong. We were not even close to the sneaky shoe.
I never even once considered shoes.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Like, I thought everything came in black in those days.
Right.
It says, okay, so this is from Kansas City Journal. Sorry, I had a burp. From Kansas City Journal, 1898. A string of recent burglaries had detectives on edge in downtown Kansas City. So when our cartoonishly shifty dude was spotted, standing in dark doorways with dark clothes, a dark hat pulled down over his dark eyes, what else could police do but arrest first and figure out probable cause later? The suspicious man, Lee Muse, 23, was arrested and taken in for questioning, where he refused to talk. Police found no weapons or burglar tools in his possession, but... he was wearing soft felt shoes, which make no noise when they walk. So, case fucking closed. The article casually describes additional civil violations. If nothing can be learned from him this morning, he will be charged with vagrancy and sent to the workhouse in order to keep him in custody until his movements during the past few weeks can be traced.
Real win-win there, huh?
Yeah. Hey, we'll send him to the internment camp. That'll keep an eye on him.
Even if he's not the burglar, he's certainly a fucking bum.
Yeah. Hey, Sarge, this is a win-win. We either catch the guy that's been committing all the robberies or we get a homeless man off the streets.
Perfect.
It's like, you know, sneaks are a very, like, that's an expensive shoe.
Right?
Nope. Man was homeless. Why else would you be standing in a dark doorway? Police work.
Police work. Well, I mean, it was nighttime and electricity is scarce.
I don't know if electricity even existed yet, did it? Dark doorways were anything with shade or at night.
Right, yeah. Or also known as a doorway.
Yeah. You know, honestly, though, if like you put that in perspective where electricity really just didn't exist, if he was standing in dark doorways... he's standing in doorways at night. That's a little weird.
Right.
I might be siding with 1898 Kansas City PD on this one.
I might be slightly fascist.
You're not going to tell me that, like, you see some dude standing in your doorway at night and you're like, obviously, he could be here for a litany of reasons. Not talking to the police, not a problem.
Look. If I'm around at night noticing a guy also around at night, I'm just going to assume we're both up to something, and I'm not a rat. I would rather not the police not come.
You both look at each other
with
your sneaky...
I'm a little too busy robbing all these houses.
You just look at him with your sneaky shoes and hat on, and you just both nod at each other.
I just open up my sneaky umbrella.
Yeah.
And just walk away.
You notice he's getting wet because it's raining, so you're like, take my sneaky umbrella. Mm. Don't worry. I got it through sneaky means. At the end here, it says, Lee had a known association with criminals, but frustrated cops never had enough to make a case against him. One time, they almost caught him in the act, but this cagey motherfucker jumped out a two-story window onto a stone walkway below, then sprinted away in a lively fashion. This motherfucker is he's a cartoon character. He, like, busted the window.
He's an upstanding citizen to me.
No, he's wearing probably cartoonishly ridiculous clothes. He jumps out a window. He lands. They're like, holy shit. He's like, catch me in, coppers! And he just, like, fucking prances away. Like, ha ha ha!
If you thought my sneaky shoes were impressive, watch my spring shoes.
No, I like to stay in chat, but I gotta get to the bank. Ha ha!
Now, if you told me this man also had a real thin mustache, then yeah.
like a little like the twirly mustache,
mm-hmm, just a little,
yep,
little curl at the end there.
He's like,
this man's clearly tied a damsel to train tracks recently,
dude. Seriously, they're like, we've had a reported many issues of women being tied to train tracks and nobody stopping them. I think it's this guy. What makes you say that? Ha ha! It's like, you're doing it right now. I'm watching you do it.
Damn it, they saw my sneaky rope.
I don't even know how you can see me. I'm wearing my sneaky hat.
This doorway is so dark.
Says, although Muse was caught wearing suspicious shoes, it is doubtful if the police can make a case against him. Fuck yeah, Team Lee. Look, you and the writer... You fucking, I'm Law and Order, okay? I am a proponent of, you know, look.
You're a fucking, you know, stooge of the man is what you are.
Look, the dude jumped out of a fucking two-story window and sprinted away.
So my dude's got mad hops.
Dude, it's overly mad hops. Like, okay. They were just like,
his fault he's NBA bound?
He probably founded the NBA, dude. He's like, look, could I turn my mad hops into a game? Yeah, well, okay. Fucking...
Look, I think someone's traded in his sneaky shoes for some jackboots over here.
Fuck. Listen, I didn't know. It was not on my bingo card for the allegedly first fact of the allegedly podcast to figure out, like... cartoon villains actually existed. You know, like, this guy may have been in Wacky Races at one time. You know, fuck it, he has a cat that just sits there and is like the cat's name is like Bartholomew or something. Come Bartholomew, we have a bank to get to. We have a deposit and a withdrawal! Away! And then he, like, flickers his cape, you know? Like, oh, my God. Cops are like, we got nothing. We seriously don't have anything. Nobody's saying anything. This Joe character keeps bumping into him at night. We think he's a criminal, too. They won't talk.
Nothing. Called him Stonewall Joe.
Stonewall Joseph. Won't say shit.
Won't say nothing.
Yeah, he just twirls his skinny mustache and laughs at us.
Says, thanks for the workout, fellas.
I needed a good stretch today.
My six-pack thanks you.
Oh, shit. All right, well, we got it wrong. Fuck us. Whatever. I don't care. I've already forgot about it. Moving on. Not a good start, Joe.
Look, I'm gonna put my sneaky shoes and walk away from that question.
I'm gonna fucking change the answer because I'm so sneaky. Ooh. Yeah. I'm not. I'm gonna keep it.
Okay.
Yeah. The writer texted me. She says,
You just described the whole episode. Congrats.
Nice.
That's why they call them sneakers. Sneaky shoes. All right, here we go. Fact number two. Who reported a group of teenage boys acting suspiciously in Pottsville, Pennsylvania in March 1931? Is it A, Jack of Jack's Taxi Service, B, Tom of Jerry's Deli, or C, Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration? Oh, this is huff. Okay, so Bob Vance, I think, to me,
Jack's of Jack's.
Well, Bob Vance is The Office.
Right.
Got it. But then again, is it real?
But then
you're telling me there is no such thing as a Bob Vance and starting a refrigeration company ever.
I'm just saying Jack's of Jack's sounds the best.
Jack's of Jack's Jaxi Service?
Yeah.
Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service.
It just sounds the funnest to me.
I'm trying to think.
I have no empirical evidence to back any of this up.
I'm trying to think, because Tom and Jerry, Jack of Jack's, Jack of Jack's, Jaxi, Jack, Tack, God damn it. Jack of Jack's Taxi Service. Like, the repeats are going to roll up and be like, Jack, what do you see? Well, let me go get Jack of Jack's, taxis. He saw some teenagers.
He saw some teenagers. They're all wearing sneakers.
They're soft sole shoes. I didn't hear a thing out of them.
I didn't hear him run away.
One of them jumped out of a six-story window. Fucking teenagers. Well, did they bump a taxi or something? No, they ran away. They were playing this game called Hopscotch.
Jumping Jack, getting your Jaxi taxi, and let's get after him.
Jaxi taxis. That's pretty good, actually. I'm going to start a Jaxi taxi.
I kind of like it.
It's going to be like the next like Uber. Call the Jaxi.
So a taxi.
No, it's got a J in it.
It's totally different.
Can't get sued by the taxi union.
Big taxi can't come after you.
Big taxi's coming down on me hard. All right, well, fuck it. Whatever. Let's do that. Let's say Jack of Jack's Taxi. I can't say that five times fast. Can you?
Jack's of Jack's Taxi? Yeah.
Service at the end. Now say it faster.
Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service. Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service. Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service. Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service.
I don't think I want to be a friend with you anymore. I'm sorry, you're so articulate. Tongue teasers do not stop Joe.
You mean tongue twisters?
Whatever. what did I say? Tongue teasers?
Yeah.
That's for later.
I was like, that's part of our fan fiction.
Yeah, that's the Fern Gully fan fiction
that's
we
the
got
Fern
right.
Gully way right there.
Have you ever heard of tongue teasers?
Well, I'll tell you what, my tongue finds a way.
That was my Tim Curry, I'm sorry. All right, let's go. Okay, so then we're going to go A, who reported a group of teenage boys acting suspiciously in Pottsville, Pennsylvania in March 1931? We say Jack of Jack's Taxi Service. 3, 2, 1, bam! It is Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service.
Yes, alliteration for the win.
Yeah. So it says, this story was so cheesy and tropey, I had to check a couple times to make sure this was a news article and not a short story. It begins. Three youthful bandits were captured at 11 o'clock last night by local police. So already it's hard to take seriously. Youthful bandits. In the confession to the police, quote, they were reading detective and gangster novels in a shack located on West Washington. They secured a quart of wine and then decided to take a walk. And while passing the store, one boy informed two friends that the store would be an easy place to rob. They then entered the building by lifting each other through a rear window on Ferguson Street. Noticed acted suspiciously by Jack, manager of Jack's Taxi Service. The police were notified. Sergeant Shopple and Officer Good. God, Shopple's the next app, bro, I'm telling you.
That's good.
Drove to the scene and noticed a young man hiding behind a pole. He jumped out and police arrested him and began a search for his two partners. After a thorough search of the second floor,
Sergeant Shopple discovered the boys concealed in a cupboard. An automatic pistol was discovered under the radiator by the burglars. The boys informed the police that their purpose in entering the building was to steal tobacco and cigars. End quote. They apparently got scared when...
cigars are made out of tobacco, right?
I would assume that they meant loose tobacco and pre-rolled cigars.
I know, I'm just being...
Wow,
I'm just
Joe,
being pedantic.
Grow up.
Okay. All right, Sergeant Schmapple.
Hey, Sergeant Schmapple to you, Officer Good. Okay. Oh my God, I'm going to make a TV show of this. Thank you for being a friend. That we'll have to repurpose that one. Because that sounds like two cops just like giggling in their cop car. Shoppling good. Oh my God, we can call it good shoppling. Okay. So apparently they got scared when they saw a flashlight at the front of the store and hid behind the pole and in a cupboard like a goddamn cartoon. The most wholesome crime I've read about in months. So they got drunk. So they're like, some couple of youthful bandits read like a Batman comic. We're like, we could do that. Got drunk, fucking broke into a store to steal fucking cigarettes. Got caught by cops. That's the whole story. That shit was crazy for 1931.
Look.
Blew everybody's tits off.
If it wasn't for that fucking narc Jack.
Fucking Jack of Jack's Taxi. We'll never forget that name.
Right? See? That's why you got to go with it. That's just good marketing right there.
I want to talk to... But what happens if you, like, remanage? Like, you know, I want to talk to Eric of Jack's Taxi. That's just confusing. Everybody just wants to talk to Jack now.
Right. Well, that's when you just, you just make everyone change their name.
Yeah. It's true. Everybody's Jack now. You, what's your name? Dylan? You're Jack.
It's like when you go work at Disneyland, you can't take off the Mickey Mouse head. You can't. Everyone's
Mickey.
You're always Jack when you're on duty.
Yep. So cut and dry. You did it. You got it right, dude. Jack of Jack, he's an arc. He didn't apply. He's not Joe of, Joe's sneakers. He's an arc. Joe was not an arc.
Mm-mm.
No, Joe is an honest
criminal.
Sounds
to me, I mean, honestly, Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service, it seemed to me he had a pretty good chance of getting a fare by being a getaway driver here.
He did. He had an opportunity to make money, and
seems
he turned
like
that
ruined.
Down.
I'm starting to see why Jack's of Jack's Taxi Service isn't around anymore.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that. Poor business practices, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sergeant.
If he knew something suspicious was going on, he could have confronted him and then extorted him.
Shopple and Good are not paying for taxis. Okay, they got that squad car.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Jack and Jacks.
They got their ride paid by the taxpayer dime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're just repurposed the name. They'll call it a Pair of Jacks Taxi Service, and we're good.
Pair of Jacks. Pair of Jacks coming to you this year on Hallmark Mystery.
Yeah. What am I doing as a taxi driver in this small Christmas town? Pair of Jacks.
A pair of Jacks. We ain't got time for your big city taxiways.
I'm just a small taxi guy named Jack. You're a big city taxi guy named Jack.
Where you come from, you might not report suspicious teenage activity. But that's all I gotta do. Or else I gotta go home to my wife.
1931. Shit. Alright, well, we got it right. We did it. Go us. Well, we finally did something right, Joe.
Hey, we're saving off that zero.
Yeah, we did. Not this week, writer. Not this week.
Mm-mm.
Alright, here we go. Fact number 3. When 14 boys were reported acting suspiciously in Paterson, New Jersey in 1935, police responded and found one of them either A, stealing another town's salamander, B, setting up a fake lake monster, or C, hiding behind a goddamn pole. It's got to be C. Like, she put a fucking goddamn pole.
It's got to be.
Yeah. So I came on scene, Officer Sergeant Zoppel here, and... I was looking for the perp. It was a 6'4 man, strangled 4 women. Saw this fucking teenager behind this pole. didn't fit the description, but why would we sit behind that pole? Book them, boys.
You mean Beanpole Barry? Which is what he does.
He was just playing hide and seek, you're off. They couldn't find him. He was just behind this fucking pole.
Yeah, well, I found him, didn't I?
Joe's doing an Irish impression, okay.
Kind of.
Oh, hey. Why, yeah,
don't you worry, boy. I'll be driving out Jack's taxi service soon enough. Thinking he can go around reporting suspicious activity. Taking my job, is he?
Yep. He was just shitting behind the pole there. Right.
I heard tale of giant bean poles of as a child, and I am not hearing no more of it.
I heard stories as a wee lad about fairies that dress up like little boys, and I was like, not today, fairy.
Not today.
Jack, shit. He strikes again.
So, yeah, it's got to be a goddamn pole.
It's got to be.
Okay. Then we're going to go C for fact number three. He was hiding behind a goddamn pole. For the reason why the police arrested one of them. 3, 2, 1, bam, it was C.
Nice.
It says, I had to make sure this wasn't a reprint of the last story. So many details were the same. Bunch of teenage boys doing teenage boy shit. Concerned citizens calls law enforcement. Cops roll up. The brightest kid assumes the law of the cartoon physics and hides behind a pole. Is immediately spotted and arrested. God damn. After he was caught, the police officer looking for the other three boys, or after he was caught, the officer went looking for the other three boys. He spotted them, winded, crouching near the railroad tracks. So naturally, he drew his gun. Thankfully, it didn't end with the shooting of unarmed children. All four were escorted back to the precinct by, get this, Lieutenant Scherer, Officers John Dunn, William Ackerman, Andrew Van Der Putin, and Officers Robinson and Ritter. They fucking had four teenage boys, and they put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 grown police officers on the scene. 1931 was fucking wild, dude, or 1935. I stole some gun, Your Honor. Put Officer Andrew Van Der Putin on it.
Oh, my God.
William Ackerman. God damn.
That's pretty good.
Here, the articles diverge. In the last one, they all confessed. In this one, all four lied their asses off, gave a different story about what they were doing that night. God bless those dumb motherfuckers. You didn't find me by the railroad tracks. I'm innocent. I'm just by happenstance.
We were just running a marathon.
Yeah. I was chasing a train.
I was trying to see if I could catch the next train.
I bet the other guys that I couldn't keep up with it, and I totally did. Mm. Totally. They were running because they're stupid, but I kept up with the train.
Yeah.
The other kid's like, I was hiding behind a ball. I swear the pole was hot big enough to hide me, but they saw through it, my disguise. You won't hide behind a pole no more there, boy.
No, you don't understand. I said I could hide behind this pole and no one would see me, and my friends said they couldn't, so I did. It's fine.
Last thing I heard before the cop drew his gun was, he can see you! I'm like, he can't. He can't.
Well, they, again, cops pulling guns on kids, apparently that has precedence, so...
Well, I mean, today it's wearing sneaky shoes, you know, slippery slope.
Tomorrow it's stealing loose tobacco.
And cigars.
Yeah, which at any point in human history, the 1930s, that is the most appropriate time for, or at least the approval of teens smoking was so high. They did not
look,
care.
I'm not debating whether or not they should smoke. Clearly they have good choice.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to smoke, roll your own. Yeah. I have nothing against teenage smoking. Apparently, it has a bunch of benefits. But they didn't pay for it.
But they didn't pay for it. Look, you know, if I'm going to sit here and stop teenage drinking and smoking, might as well send me to Russia. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that sounds like communist, Doc.
That sounds like commie stuff. I was from
We didn't American defeat today. Hitler to not let our teens drink.
Look, here at Jack's Taxi Service, we believe in your right to get drunk and smoke with your teenage hooligans. But damn it, you know, acting suspiciously, that's against the Bible.
Hiding behind a pole? That sounds like a sin to me.
This is why cartoons rot your brain.
It's not cartoons yet. That was radio shows. It's that goddamn radio show they listen to. What's the banded one?
The Shadow?
No. It's older.
Machine Gun Kelly.
No, not Machine Gun Kelly. It's the one that they tried to remake where Johnny Depp played a Native American.
It's like the Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger. There we go. It's like a goddamn Lone Ranger.
The goddamn Lone Ranger.
He's rotting the kid's brain, making them feel like they could be poles. All right. Well, we got it. Good for us. Staved off a 1 for 5.
Look at that.
Every time we get one, we stave it off.
We save it off.
All right, here
That's
we go.
That's almost how numbers work.
Here we go. Fact number 4. Brooklyn, New York, September 1935. A young off-duty rookie cop with just 2 months on the job was out drinking one night when he spotted a man fast asleep in his vehicle. The off-duty officer snuck up on him, jammed his gun into the man's ribs, and ordered him to get out of the car. The terrified man exited the vehicle, but because the assailant was in plain clothes, the man assumed he was being robbed. He saw a chance to escape and sprinted as fast as he could to the nearest police station. The officer fired 5 shots at the fleeing man. That word passed his head, but all missed, and he escaped. God. Cop went looking for him. A few minutes later, more police were being summoned to a local bar for a man inside waving a gun. The officer drew his gun and went inside the bar to find the off-duty officer waving his gun around as described. The situation was diffused, and the rookie cop gave the excuse that the man was asleep in his car had been acting suspiciously. What happened to the cop who fired at an unarmed civilian? Is it A, nothing, everyone went on their way, B, he was given a promotion, or C, he was arrested and charged with assault? He was given a promotion. Like, why are we even fucking dancing around this fucking... They're like, I like your gusto.
Look at this.
Look, any man.
2 months on the job, he's a natural.
Yeah, any man who could thread the needle and not hit other civilians while firing into a crowd, that shows fucking moxie.
A man drinking at a bar, going back to get into his car to drive home.
I'm going to tell this story. I walked up, man was sleeping. I jammed my gun into his ribs, and I told him, get the hell out.
Did you even warn him or try to wake him up before you jabbed him in the ribs?
I was yelling into his ear, I got a gun! So apparently, he thought he would run from that situation. So I had no choice but to unload the clip.
Well, I mean, that's just pages 1 through 10 of the handbook.
Yeah, I did it by the book, officer. I did by the book, sir. So, you can't charge
me. Did you ever
at
once announce yourself to be a police officer?
I didn't want to make it... I didn't want to frighten him, sir.
You got undercover written all over
you. Yep, I'm up for promotion, and then in 2 years, I'm up for judgeship for some reason. Going to be a judge, sir.
You ever been fooled by a kid hiding behind a pole?
It's been years since I've been fooled by that, sir. I have grown and matured in my police work.
Quick! You see 4 teenagers breathing heavily at a railroad track. What do you do?
Draw my gun. Do not declare that I'm a police officer, and then take them in.
Well.
Case closed.
Look at you, Sergeant.
Sergeant Chapel, reporting for duty.
Quick, you have 4 teenagers hiding behind a pole. How many officers does it take?
You get 1 for each officer and then 2 to go get a taxi from Jack's Jack and Taxi.
God damn it. Look at you, Captain.
Yeah. Yep. I'm the only non-Irish captain in the precinct. I'm proud of that.
Quick, you see a man wearing sneaky shoes. Do you arrest him for theft or send him to a work camp?
You arrest him, send him to a work camp, and then you find evidence of wrongdoing. Easy.
God damn it. You're going to be commissioner one day, you mark my words.
Yes. Yes, I am. Maybe governor some days in my future.
Schnapple. Is that Irish?
It's pronounced Schuple. And no.
I wouldn't. I'd put governor out of your mind then, son.
Ooh, that sounds remarkably British to me.
Fuck. So, yes, promotion, right? Are we...
Yeah, there's
no way. Yeah. There's no way they're going to come in. He's like, I swear, he was running through here and I have a gun and I'm a cop. And they're like,
honestly,
holy shit.
Pretty impressive. He was six whiskeys in.
Yeah.
Surprised he was still standing.
1935, this is the strongest hooch we got. Right. Man was not only still standing, but he could almost hit a perp.
Our last look, he went blind.
You know that guy we put on the front desk that doesn't do anything? That's the last rookie. He only had four.
Tub Hooch Jerry?
Yeah.
I heard he's a taxi cab driver now at Jack's Jack Taxi.
You mean eyewitness number one?
I swear I was listening and he sounded suspicious.
I'd know the sound of those sneaky shoes anyway. Yep, no, that's the heavy breathing I heard of all four teenagers.
Yeah. Don't worry, sir. I can now shoot in the dark.
I always have my gun drawn.
I'm a blind man. I have to defend myself somehow.
All right, so we're going to go B. He was given a promotion by the off-duty rookie cop who went ballistic, threatened, and shot an unarmed civilian, and then waved a gun at a bar. 3, 2, 1. Shocker. Oh, shit. He was arrested and charged with assault.
Entrapment.
I thought for sure. I thought this was such a slam dunk. I guess,
100%.
I guess we should have looked at the dates. I mean, 1930s. It's not 2023. So.
Right.
So it says, hanging out largely in the 19th.
Well, I think they arrested him because he failed to actually shoot the guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's why.
Yeah. What you're supposed to do is hold him down for 8 minutes.
Yeah. Oh.
Obviously. Yeah. And you put your knee on his chest, bro. And that's what you got to do.
Then you got promotion written on it.
Yeah. As he's screaming for his mom, you just sit there and go, not another perk. Wow, this guy's being really sneaky right now. He's not even moving.
Guy was trying to rest.
Look at him. He's all tuckered out.
Look at him.
Case
quick. Close. Quick, stick your gun in his ribs.
God. Shit. All right, so it says here, hanging out largely in the 1900s this week has been an emotional roller coaster. After spending so much time in the dregs of the 1800s, the 1930s can feel positively progressive at times. And this is one of those times. The headline reads, sleeps a suspicious condition. Cop feels, fires 5 shots at dozer. The bullshit arresting people for acting suspicious thing is starting to get the side eye from the public and the media, as it should. And the use of lethal force towards someone under such vague pretenses begins to be framed as a bad thing, instead of just something cops do. The police surgeon still tried to cover for the rogue cop, declaring after an exam that although intoxicated, he was still fit for duty. Notwithstanding, the deputy commissioner suspended the maniac from the force and sent him to court to be arraigned on a charge of felony assault, and the writer's heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Your Honor, he had 3 gin and tonics. It was mostly tonic.
Your Honor, if I'm not fit for duty after 7 Jack and Cokes, what are we even doing here?
Look, how am I supposed to get behind the wheel of Jack's Taxi Service if I'm not at least 3 Jack and Cokes deep?
Have you ever been on an all-night shift for Jack's of Jackson Taxi? It's a nightmare. You need at least 4 drinks to get through the night.
Have you ever been nervous to look behind any street pole, fearing there might be a teenager in sneakers? You'd be 6 beers deep yourself.
Yeah. Look, I'm just trying to get through the day, Your Honor. Okay? You can't tell me that you haven't had a couple drinks already today.
Look, what's he supposed to do? Lock his car?
We live in the 1930s. We don't even have windows yet on our cars. He just jumped right in and took a nap. Thought it was a park bench. I had one option. Dig my gun into the window.
Look, I had 6 bullets. I only fired 5.
I had another option, too. I could have just let the guy go on a warning. But I fired 5 shots, and I went back into the bar to finish my gin and tonic.
Look, typically I would have just beaten him with my billy club, but I was in my street clothes.
Yeah, I was off duty. I didn't have my gear.
I didn't want to damage the butt of my gun.
This was a gift from my wife.
Oh, shit. Well, we got it wrong.
Fucking
not staving off that.
A little shocked. Oh, turns out the cop was Irish, so it's starting to track. Rogue Irish cop put away.
Gotta watch out for them.
Obviously, the drinking problem is not his fault.
Yeah. Look, we knew we took a risk when we saw his genealogy.
Yeah. When he saw his dad was a leprechaun, we knew.
We knew, yep.
We knew he was from that fern gully forest, and frankly, we weren't quite sure.
Turns out what's at the end of that rainbow is alcoholism.
Liver disease. shit. All right, here we go. Let's jump.
It's our fault for trying to be woke, Your Honor.
Cancel us if you might, but we're going to do it again.
God damn it. We believe there's one good Irish out there.
We do have a cop out there on as the Unicorn Patrol Police. They ride unicorns, Your Honor. It's fine.
It's fine.
Oh, shit. Okay, here we go. Last fact. Fact number 5. It would be an injustice to people like George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Philando Castile, Elijah McClain, and countless others to ignore the myriad of instances I came across in newspapers of black Americans harassed or killed for acting suspiciously while doing nothing more than existing while black. Plus one point, going on this educational journey with me. I had never heard of this paper or the amazing black man who wrote it, who really should have be a household name across America. I am substituting the term black throughout to spare you the editing agina. Agita? Anxiety? I'm getting anxiety by reading that. That sounds like a body part you put in your mouth.
Angina?
A-G-I-T-A. Agita. Agita?
Agita.
Agita. My way. The writer's like bilingual. Okay? Like, don't. I barely know English. So.
I'm pretty sure that's an English word.
I'm pretty sure the writer thinks I'm way more intelligent than I actually am. So. Okay. Here we go.
Look, we all heard Posit last week, so.
Yeah. I would have been the kid that was hiding behind the pole. While you guys made your way back to the train tracks, like, where's Alex? It's like, pretty sure I saw him hiding behind
the pole.
He's
trying the pole thing again.
Oh, the cop is smashing his face into the pole now. Well, that's his fault. He shouldn't have been hiding behind.
Well. Yeah, I mean, that's really on him for wearing a hat with ear flaps. That's just her handles.
that was just asking for trouble. It was suspicious for sure. Okay, so this is The Black Dispatch, 1920, That Curious Reasoning. So this is an excerpt from that. The reckless shooting of a member of our group this week should not be passed by lightly. Think of it. A black man who to date has not been charged with anything other than acting suspicious is shot down on the streets between 9 and 10 o'clock in the evening. The black people of the city are entitled to know what this acting suspicious means. The hour is not improper, and even though it is late, it later proved that the black man had a gun, that is no excuse for the attack.
because there was no way for a mounted policeman to know that a man on the sidewalk and in the dark had a pistol. This is no endorsement of law violators. The Black Dispatch is just taking a common sense view of this thing. A young white man said this week, the mounted police are too high-handed in the manner in which they approach a man. And before the week ended comes the story that a white baker man, a brakeman, has been treated the same dose of unwarranted brutality. The fact is, we think that as a general proposition, the black folk of this town are exercising a deal of patience in the face of such outrages. Think for a moment if the conditions were reversed. Why, only a few months ago, one of our black policemen was fired from the police force because he arrested white men in this same district and who were manifestly intruders and there to break moral laws. This policeman was dismissed from the police force just as though he had committed a grave and incomprehensible crime. The coroner's jury will, of course, find that the black man who walked down the street at 9 o'clock looked suspicious and that the resultant killing was justifiable. White men, however, found in the same district without a cause do not look suspicious and is a crime even to arrest them. The Black Dispatcher newspaper was founded in 1914 by civil rights activist Roscoe Dungy. It was the first black newspaper in Oklahoma City and an invaluable historical record of injustices that other media ignored or whitewashed. The paper's name, Black Dispatch, is a reference to the intelligence given upon to Union soldiers by black slaves during the Civil War that proved vital to their success because of their intimate knowledge of the landscape and person's whereabouts. Roscoe Dungy helped found Oklahoma NAACP state chapter and served as its president for 16 years while also serving on the NAACP's national board. There's more. This guy was just a badass, Joe.
Sick.
All right. Roscoe Dungy, this is from Wikipedia. Now, Roscoe Dungy was a leader in Oklahoma City using his newspaper to advance racial integration in housing, university admission, education, transportation, and other public accommodations. He worked for fair jury selection and against lynchings. He was said to be a brilliant child and dropped out of school because it was not challenging. This is not to hinder his success, and he developed a reputation for having the best legal minds. One of the best legal minds of his time. He purchased a paper at age 32. He used this as a platform to publish editorials against segregation and report unfair treatment of blacks. The newspaper grew from a local publication to a national one, and at one point boasting nearly 20,000 subscribers. Dungy would regularly report on lynchings of blacks in both Oklahoma and Texas. He worked to change voter laws that prohibited or constrained black voters from the polls. Oklahoma's new 1908 constitution, passed after statehood, had raised barriers to voter registration, effectively disenfranchising blacks and other minority voters. In 1916, the state passed a grandfather clause that enabled white voters to escape certain restrictions related to literacy. Dungy's efforts contributed to the court challenges. Ultimately, lawyers of the NAACP overturned the grandfather clause in the U.S. Supreme Court case Goon v. United States. Dungy publicized the murder trial of Jess Hollins. He was a black man arrested for rape of a white woman, to which he confessed without having seen counsel. He was rapidly sentenced to death 4 days after the alleged attack in December 1931. Dungy reported on the case, supporting an appeal. The judge said he moved fast because he feared another Tulsa race riot.
That's a cute way of putting that.
Yeah, that's fucking... that is a very white way to say that.
Yeah, as, it was a race riot.
Had taken place in 1921. The state court ruled that Hollins deserved a jury trial. He was convicted by an all-white jury in 1934 and again sentenced to death. The case was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which ruled in Hollins v. State of Oklahoma that the systematic exclusion of blacks from the jury had been grounds for reversing Hollins' conviction. It directed a new trial. Hollins was convicted by another all-white jury and sentenced to life in prison. He died in 1950 and is now widely believed to have been innocent.
Ugh.
God damn. In 1916, the Oklahoma Board of Commissioners passed an ordinance forbidding
black representatives from moving into a white house on a block or into a house on a block occupied by at least 75% white residents. Dungy funded the cases of several black residents who were attempting to integrate areas not zoned for blacks. William Floyd was a black shoemaker who purchased a home in a majority white neighborhood. Floyd was jailed 4 times for attempting to occupy his newly purchased home. Dungy bailed Floyd out each time and encouraged him to return to the home. In this period, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Buchanan v. Warley, 1917, that racially discriminatory state and local ordinances for housing were unconstitutional. A judge in Oklahoma ruled that the state law was unconstitutional on those grounds. There's more. In the early part of 1921, the KKK sent salesmen into Oklahoma to sell memberships for $10 each. What the fuck? The Klan was so fucking popular that now it's like a bad word, right? Now, like, even like adamant supporters, like completely bigoted racists, are like, yeah, I'm in the KKK.
Yeah, they don't call it the Klan anymore.
No, no,
they're just like, oh, no, no, no. We're just, we're like a,
we're a men's club.
We're a European heritage group.
Yeah. Yeah, so fucking, but this was so popular, they were like, KKK, we are so exclusive, give us money to join. And people were like, yes.
Get 1 year of the NRA for free.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. I really hope someday there were like, the NRA.
Ooh.
I mean, they were buying memberships.
So it says here, the Klan spread like wildfire, eventually selling 100,000 memberships. On May 31st, 1921, after the Klan had been agitating in Oklahoma for only a few months, a group of Caucasian men set fire to the Greenwood district of Tulsa, which was black, burning 3,500 people out of their homes and destroying many lucrative businesses. Greenwood district,
a race riot.
Yeah. Hey, you know what this is? This looks like a race riot. We better get those Klan boys on it.
I always get race riot and domestic terrorism confused.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, like impeding civil liberties, the race riot. Greenwood District had been one of the most successful black enclaves in the United States and had often been called Black Wall Street. It is unclear how many black people died in that 48-hour period and how many ran away and never came back. The Greenwood District burned for 2 days. It was decimated. When the newspaper accounts began to come out, the white-owned newspapers blamed black people and called what was really a massacre a race riot. Of course, the Black Dispatch told the truth, but few Caucasians read it. Approximately 40 years later, the Oklahoma legislature authorized an investigation of what really happened to Greenwood District. After a careful study, the committee found that the Black Dispatch and other black-owned newspapers had told the truth. It was indeed a massacre. He played a vital role in desegregating the Oklahoma State University in 1948, and he was also worked for years to desegregate the University of Oklahoma. At his funeral, it was revealed that Roscoe Dungy had paid for all the civil rights litigations in Oklahoma and most of the civil rights litigations in the region. Roscoe Dungy, rest in power.
Fucking A.
So, here's a word to the writer. If you're gonna, like, give us the backstory of people, alright? Don't give us a backstory of somebody that's, like, this fucking cool. Okay? I don't have anywhere to go. Like, give me something. Like, give me something. Like, Roscoe Dungy, he did all this cool shit, but he also liked to eat, you know, pudding with his fingers. And it's like, okay.
Hey, don't bring him down to Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I know. But, like, it's something that at least we can poke fun. Like, this dude was straight up just a badass through and through. Like, they even fucking called out. He, like, bought a newspaper when he was, like, 30 fucking 2.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm like 35, God. And I still sleep in. Like, at age 32, he purchased a newspaper and started publishing it and became huge. I'm like, what am I going to do with my day? What am I doing this Saturday? I'm just going to lay around, play video games, and do a podcast. I didn't even purchase this podcast.
I don't even believe in white privilege.
I argued with Andrew Tate stands on Twitter. That's what I do. Look, every little bit counts. I get it, but like some people's count a little more.
Yeah.
Like, this guy did way more than I do.
That guy will do, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, more than I'll ever do.
Yeah. Like, I'll try my best, but goddamn, I have some catching up to do.
Are you trying to say, look, I put a black picture on my Instagram account.
Yeah.
I blacked it out. I brought my own bag to Trader Joe's.
I put BLM in my Twitter profile. Okay? That's what I did.
We solved it, right?
Yeah. I'm helping, right?
Look.
God.
It's cool.
I love this story. It's a fantastic fucking story. It just makes me feel like a huge piece of shit.
Next week, all stories.
Yeah, next week we're going to be going. Actually, you know what? We could tell the story of fucking, what's his face? Carl Weathers. He passed away. Have you ever looked into Carl Weathers' story too?
Carl Weathers was a true hero.
He was a badass.
Yeah. Man, it was awesome.
Yeah, the writer said that we'll do another U.S. presidents next week just to make us feel better.
Oh, sweet. Something we can actually relate to.
Yeah.
So, white U.S. man president. Something I might be able to achieve in my lifetime.
Yeah. White man who gets a ton of undeserved power based on unqualifications.
Sick.
Yeah, I can do that.
Look, I got wooden teeth. Let's do it.
Look, I grew up in a mostly white neighborhood. I got this.
Come on, man.
Put the country into my hands.
Look, man, I'm as successful as a baseball owner as George W. Bush was.
Did George W. Bush own a baseball team?
Yeah, he owned the Texas Rangers.
Really?
Yeah.
He had that much money?
Yeah.
You know, all the stupid shit Bush did.
He had oil money.
I kind of, missed that those were our options. You know, between Bush and fucking Gore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Middle East isn't probably stoked on it, though.
No, they were not. I mean, I probably wouldn't either. It wasn't good for the time, but judging in hindsight, you remember when, like, John McCain and Obama ran?
And
McCain fucking called out his constituents when they called into question Obama's, like, citizenship?
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, he's a good man, and he has he has the United States fucking at heart.
Now let me make the best political move of my career. And get the and get the best vice president candidate ever. I'm a shoe to win.
I don't understand. Republican men don't want to vote for a woman? This is a mystery to me.
Look, she looks like Tina Fey. Come on.
guys, come on. Like, look at her. You're not telling me that she's at least a fucking, she's a Texas 10 right here.
Come on, guys.
This is an LA 2 Texas 10, am I right? Like, come on.
Come on, she can see Russia from her house. It's adorable.
She's great. She's like the principal of a homeschool.
Yeah, I will. The most baffling decision ever.
Well, it's because Roscoe Dungy wasn't making decisions for the fucking McCain presidential run, his campaign. So, just saying. Honestly, Roscoe would be working for Obama.
I don't think Roscoe Dungy would take that job.
No, I don't think he'd take any job in politics, judging by this, but at least I think he would probably write more favorably on the Obama side. And that's not even a racial thing. It's just a
that's
policy
just, yeah,
decision
just a
thing.
I mean, that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah. I voted. I wish I could go back because I voted both McCain and Romney. Ew.
Oof. That's got to be tough. That's got to be tough to say out loud.
Oh, it's not. It's not, because, I mean, at the end of the
day...
Man,
you went Romney, my guy?
Dude, I did.
Wow.
You know what? Okay, wait. I will say
that
this.
That one blows me away more than McCain.
I will say this, okay? I went McCain and Romney. I did not go Trump. I will say I went Ben Carson, okay? I did, okay? I stand by it being better than Trump.
Okay, again.
I stand by
it. Low bar.
You know what, though? At least I got over that hurdle. At least I
look,
got over it.
Hey, and you're willing to say it out loud?
Yeah, I learned I grew as I matured and became an adult, I started to actually read the news and therefore adjusted my political opinions based on where I more align with. And that is not now McCain and Romney and, you know, fucking Ben Carson. So, but I will be proud of the fact that, like, McCain and Romney both are pretty adamant anti-Trump. They may have voted with him 90% of the time, but that 10% get them thrown out of the party. That 10% is like, it was a insurrection. Rape is not okay. You know, we shouldn't be supporting Russia.
Ones. Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, 90% is
they should.
Else.
I mean, they should just leave the party and be Democrats already.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, fucking Romney might have to if he wants to stay in politics. They're going to throw his ass out.
I mean,
McCain got the easy road.
Yeah, somehow cancer was the easy road.
Somehow. Shit. Well, okay, so, I mean, judging by these numbers, though, we got a 3 out of 5.
Look at that.
We didn't do the worst.
Nice.
So.
Next up, White House.
Yep. So, we learned a lot this week, though. I feel kind of proud of us, you know what I mean? We learned a little bit more about each other. Like, we learned that Joe got arrested once. And we learned that fucking I voted for Republicans 3 times in a row.
Yeah. And it
we all fuck
like
up.
It sounds like if that had happened to me in 1931, I would have got a gun in my face. So
I'm
happy it happened in the 2000s.
I'm surprised you didn't fucking 2015.
Hey, look, yeah, I mean, I am pretty white, so.
You got that moon tan, Joe.
I got that.
Yeah, you don't. You stand out as a very white individual in a crowd.
Look, there's not a dark enough doorway for me to hide in.
No, it's not. Nighttime, no lights around. Joe is glistening.
Time to shine.
Literally. Oh, shit. All right, dude, you want to close this one out?
Yep. There you have it. That was this week's Allegedly Podcast. If you liked it, go ahead, follow us on all the socials at Allegedly. If you'd like to get to know us a little bit more or have any questions answered, email us at allegedly.podcast@gmail.com and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next week. And until then.
I don't know.
I don't got that. I don't think
yeah, this one's pretty. Like,
I think we'll just yeah. I think we can just
you know like oh we'll see you around. Oh yes. Yes. We'll see you next week, boy. Oh yeah.
Get out of here. You're not a cop anymore.